God, bind up all distractions and keep them from us. Keep them far from here. God, open the eyes of our hearts to see you today, to feel you, to know you, and know for a certainty you're here. God, grant us your peace. Father, we need your understanding. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Is God good? Amen. Thank you, God. God's here. It's really our prayer today. It's just that God would speak. That God would speak, that we'd hear his voice. That we wouldn't be distracted like Cody prayed. Just that our focus would be on him, and that his Holy Spirit will have just the authority in this place to move and to speak according to what the Word of God is and to what truth is. We know that we're privileged to be here. We know that this is special. We know that we come into the presence of God and that he is an awesome God and he is mighty to save and he is our healer. Thank you, Jesus. He's the one who can help us with whatever the struggles are that no one else can help you with. Only God can do it. Well, God will do it. God will do it. God will heal. God will help you with your kids. God will help you with a place to live. God will watch over you. He promises that he will meet all of our needs. And he is good and he's faithful. Even though a lot of times we don't see it or our eyes are on something else, we're not really focused on him. But when our eyes get focused where they should be, we start to see what he's doing. We start to recognize the bounty and that he is so faithful. He's so good. He's so good. Iris, I want to just welcome you. And Iris is going to lead us into sharing today and talk much about the same thing, about how good God is and how God is a God who watches over us. God bless you.
Morning. Hi, Sam. Love you all too. Okay, Lord. Give me your words to speak. Spirit, lead me. Okay, I come from a very large family. My mother had 19 pregnancies, and I'm the 14th delivery she had from the baby. She almost died having me. So after I was born, I went straight to the convent for a week. And after that, I was put in various foster homes. And I never had a bond with my mother or my family or anybody, so I always felt alone. And I'd be in a foster home, and I'd get comfortable in that foster home, and then put out of that into another foster home, or else back to my biological family, and then back and forth till I was about age 6. And then at 6, that's when I started to know things and be aware of my surroundings, that they took me out of the French foster home and brought me to my biological family again, where I was treated with, first anger, because all I spoke was French. And I didn't speak English or Cree, so I got that slapped out of me. And then when I couldn't, when I got that slapped out of me, I was beaten and sexually abused, abandoned, not believed. When I tried to share what happened to me, I was not believed. I was called a liar. And then put in different foster homes. And during that time, I had gotten close to my late sister. And her and I went through many hardships together, and we shared in many pains and struggles. And I believed that her and I were going to grow old together. So to me, she was my strength for a while. And been on my own since I was 10 years old. My mom just gave up on me, and she didn't understand that I was running away from her because she was beating me too much, and I didn't like to be blamed for something that I didn't even know what I was being blamed for. I didn't know this family I was born into, yet I was being blamed for everything that happened to my mom. So I ran away from that, and I ran to the streets, where on the streets people protect each other. In certain times, you know, you've got to know who you trust. People connect with each other, we support each other, and there is love on the streets. There is love. It may not look like it because a lot of people look down and out and grubby and everything, but there is love on the streets because God is love and He is everywhere. Yes, and I was on the streets till I was about, I lived with a man when I was 13 years old. And I was on my first shack up when I was 13, and then I had my son when I was 15. And I did this all alone without any support from my family. When I had my son, I was so proud that I knew how to bathe him, I knew how to breastfeed him, I knew how to change his diaper without anyone telling me. So I was so proud, I dressed him up nice and put baby lotion on him, baby powder, and brought him to my mom's where my older sister was, and I showed him off and just proud and happy. And the remark comes out of my sister's mouth saying, "Oh, he smells like a white man." And that just put down everything I tried hard to do to say, like, you know, like I'm being a good parent and you guys are calling me down and saying something like that just because I'm using products that smell nice, you know, and you guys say it's a white people's product and you guys use white people's products to clean your hair. It's just so silly. So I was, you know, put down for my parenting. I was always put down for something I did. Even today I'm being put down for my parenting. That's okay. That's my parent. Thank you. And then I had four other children, so altogether I have five children. And each relationship I would stay. My longest relationship was 6 years, and I had two girls from him, but we never stayed together, so I never got to trust men. I never did trust men since I was six, and my innocence got taken away. So all my life, I've been used as an object for men for their own pleasure. And when they were done with me, or I couldn't give any more, whether it's emotional or physical, they'd leave. So I was alone raising my kids most of the time, so when I had my last one, my chickadee, I got my tubes clamped and I said no more because I don't trust him. And so I've been raising her all by myself and, physically by myself. The Lord has not left me because I turned her to His hands and He's doing an awesome job because I couldn't do it. During this time, I gave my life to the Lord in 84 while I was pregnant and I did not surrender. I was so angry at men that I had to come to the conclusion that Jesus was a man, you know, and to be able to trust a man again is hard to do. And yet there's so much love around this man and there's so much trust in this man that I had no choice but to surrender to this love. Because when I was alone, like of all my life, I've always been alone. But I never was alone. When I surrendered, He opened my eyes and I seen that I was never alone. And He has, during my journey with Him this past year, He has taken me through many trials and I asked Him to get to the root. Pastor Stan said, ask Him to get to the root. So I asked Him to get to the root. So in March, He delivered me from sexual abuse and He took something out of me that I felt empty. And I had carried that identity of sexual abuse since I was 6 years old, so some 35 something years, maybe more, 40 years. And when He removed that identity from me, I didn't know who I was. So I got afraid and I went back to the only thing I knew about, which was not alcohol. The Lord removed the desire from that totally. And so I went back to marijuana. And for that, I was in shame for many months, and then I was ridiculing, self-condemnation, and then I got sick, physically sick, so I thought, okay, I'm going to use marijuana because it helps with the nausea, I can't keep food, so then the enemy was feeding me these lies, and I said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And what is kept in darkness, if it is exposed to light, will come out. So that's what I have been going through. And I'm not ashamed to say that, but I'm free. I am free from that. And despite the fact that I had done that, like smoked marijuana, the Lord still forgives me. He still wants me to serve Him. He's still after me. So I had got a job a month or so ago, and I was working, and my daughter and I worked together. And the Lord once asked me to go north. And thank you, Kathy and Alvin, for making it possible that I can go serve the Lord in Wood Bible School. So I'm leaving on Tuesday to go to Bible school, Fort Providence. Yay. And I'm just in awe at His forgiveness. You know, if I don't live in His forgiveness, I will get in trouble. And because I did not live in His forgiveness, I did get in trouble. And now I am hidden in Christ. I know that because I recognize that I am forgiven and washed clean by His blood, that I can walk in His freedom. And I don't know. Stop thinking now. speak. He's taught me also to get out of the self, the thought of self. Because all my life I thought, poor me, I'm alone. Poor me, my sister, the one that died, left me, now I'm alone. Poor me that the men fathered my children with me, left me, and I'm alone. Poor me, my parents didn't help me or teach me anything, I'm alone. And that was the self. And then He's teaching me, it's not about you, because it's not about me. It's all about Him. And when I think it's all about Him, I can walk free. And it's so simple. It's so simple. And now I see my daughter struggling. I can't say anything because she won't listen to me. Maybe she listened to something. I just know that the Lord's going to use me for something, and I'm willing. And that's the only thing I'm willing. Thank you.
You guys come. Hey, Iris. We're going to pray for you. So, Alvin and Kathy, will you come too, Kathy? Man, going to Bible school. Praise you, God. Jesus. Let's just pray. We need to just join together. Listen to God. Just pray to God. Lord, just want to add to that, that you have completely set Iris free from all that abuse, all that story, God, that you're going to turn this story into a good story, just as you have been doing that, God. We take you at your word, and you turn evil into good. I thank you for the heart that Iris has, and I pray that you will impart into her, God, all the wisdom and all the strength and all the power of your spirit, so that
she follows you with all of her heart. You'll continue to provide for every need that she has. But this will be a place where she is growing and where she's finding healing. She's finding complete restoration in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Thank you, God. He's a God. He's a God of the city. He is in control. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Someone left this song on the stand. I didn't plan on singing it. So the words won't be on the screen. That we break through that without God and without His prayer. And we don't condemn her. You know, someone can say, well, you know, she needs to repent. Well, we all need to repent. So, you know, you're in the right place if you come to repent. We should all repent. You're the God of the city, God of these people, Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. Hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless. You are, let's do that again. You're the God of the city, you're the King of these people, Jesus, the Lord of this nation. You are, you're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Cry out to God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things still to be done here. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. The peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. Yeah.
yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. In Red Deer, God, greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. Yes, ye Lord, right here, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. It's greater things. Greater things are still to be done here.
Please lead us in prayer, Frank. You're standing anyways. Thank you. Again today, we're following a series of sermons on Samuel, and God's been speaking through His Word. It's a great story. I love the account of Samuel as a little boy, and as he grows, becomes the judge of Israel, becomes the one who anoints David. It's the great work that God has in his life. So, if you have your Bibles, I just invite you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3 today. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're just gonna read the whole chapter today, so that we catch that context. I know we read some of this last week. We're just listening to God's voice, and we make the declaration this morning, just right off the start, that God has a voice. My God has a voice. Amen? My God has a voice. My God can speak. My God knows what I need. My God speaks to me. He's that kind, and He's that alive, and He's that real in my life. My God has a voice. Let's read it together. We read the story of Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp, which is an important sentence, we looked at this a bit last week. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. There's still hope. And Samuel was lying down in the temple where the ark of the Lord God was, sorry. And the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. And again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. And he said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And the Lord came and he stood there calling, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible. He failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and he said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Well, here I am. What was it that he," meaning God, "said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, "He is the Lord." This is good. Eli recognizes this. "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. Amen? It's a powerful testimony, powerful word of God. We're told that in the beginning of this, that the word of the Lord was rare, that because of the people's disobedience, because of the hardness of the hearts of people, God wasn't speaking very much. He wasn't saying very much. The word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. But the lamp was still burning, the golden lamp that was in the temple of God. The lamp was still burning. There's still hope, and that hope is really seen in this person of Samuel. We look at that today, that Samuel becomes a spokesman for God. That the word of the Lord takes on a new and a fresh power in this little boy Samuel, who grows up to be a man, who grows up to be anointed of God. Anointed to anoint others and to speak the word of the Lord. Samuel speaks the word of the Lord. And we read in the last part of this that every word of Samuel, the words of Samuel did not fall to the ground, it says. Isn't that great? The words of Samuel, because this is the word of the Lord, they did not fall to the ground, but that he spoke for all. He spoke for all of Israel. He spoke. Sorry, I just can't preach it. So, sing with me.
Lord, lead us into battle. Let us glorify your name. Holy Spirit, set our hearts aflame. We will never be the same. Lord, fill us with the vision. The church is one. Break our hearts, release us from our pride. Father, glorify your bride. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. What a joy to sing your praise. I have placed my hope in you and you alone. Just you, Jesus. I find healing in your name. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Worship him with all your heart. What a joy to see your praise. I have placed God heals in your name.
So God, we just we call on you right now. We need you, God. We need to be that. We need to know sometimes what to do, what to do, what we're not. We're nothing unless we're that. So just take the Holy Spirit to lead us. That you'll have your way, God. Give us. You are a God who has a voice. If you want to say something, then it's in the voice. And what we ask you to lead you. So be in this place. Just be in the power of your spirit. Bring healing where it really needs to come. Thank you so much for Iris' story. We know there's hope. We know where the Lord brings us out of it. Just we know, God, that you love us. You love every single thing.
Thank you, God. I believe in a God who speaks. I believe in a God who has a voice. I believe that our God has something specific to say, and that we have such a personal and intimate relationship with Him that we can walk with Him in such a way that He can speak directly into our hearts, and He can tell us what we need to hear. And Samuel is a great example of that. We're going to start with that. I know there's people put their hands up. Just be patient, okay? Just be patient. We need to hear from God today. That's important. Samuel was called by God. It's the key to this whole story is that God will do everything and God will persist to get the attention of this little boy who becomes a great man of God. God is a God who is relentless. Amen? He's a God who doesn't give up. He's a God, you know, He wants to get a message into you. He's going to keep calling your name. And that's the story about Samuel. It's a story about God continually calling Samuel's name. How many times did God call Samuel's name? Four. And He called it twice, so eight. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. And then finally Samuel goes to Eli. I mean, he's been going all along. And finally Eli clues in and he goes, Samuel, this isn't me. This is the Lord. And then one more time we're told that the Lord came beside the bed of Samuel. And one more time He said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. Then God will do whatever it takes to get Samuel's attention. God will do whatever it takes to speak to Samuel so that He can use him, so that He can call out his name. And you know, the good news is that He still does that in our lives. And if anything, you know, one thing Samuel didn't have is he didn't have the Holy Spirit. We have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can hear God with even greater clarity than I believe that even Samuel had. We have a privilege and a benefit of the power of that Holy Spirit and of a God who wants to speak to us and he wants to speak our names. And I want to tell you today, that God is speaking your name too. You know, it's one thing, we could spend a lot of time today just talking about Samuel, how great he was and how faithful he was and how the word of the Lord, you know, never fell. God's word was strong in Samuel. But, you know, the message today goes beyond that. It goes to you and me today. And it's a message that says, you know what, God can speak to you. And God does. God speaks to you and he calls out your name too. Think about this, that God knows your name. God calls out your name. He doesn't just say, hey, you. Hey, you, the girl with the nice hair. But God says, Iris, 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 Iris. Think about the whole idea of God calling us by our names and what that means. You know, what our name, a name is something that's very personal. You're Luke. You're not Fred. You're Luke. We know you as Luke, and we know you as Crystal. God knows our names, and our names are intimate, and they're personal. And when he says Ken goes, someone spoke my name. That's what happens, right? Right? Steve, I say, hey, Steve. Steve goes, that's me, because I know that's my identity. That's what we're talking about. God knows your identity. God knows who you are. You are Craig. When God says, Craig, Craig, Craig should go, yes, I hear my name. Someone knows who I am. That someone is God, and you need to understand that today, that God knows who you are. He knows your identity. He knows essentially who you are. He knows your heart. God knows your heart like no one else does. And when God calls your name, it's something very personal. There's some kind of a connection there that you know, like I said, he doesn't just say, hey, you. He calls your name. He says, I know you. We are known by name. By our God. We're told in John chapter 10, when he gives us that example, an illustration of the sheep, he said, the good shepherd knows his sheep by name. I always wonder what that must have been like. You know, there's a good shepherd, and he sees the sheep running by, and he goes, there's Spotty, there's Hopalong, you know, there's the Blackie one. You know, I don't know what he called them, but the shepherd, you know, he didn't call them Bill and Luke. He called them something else. And, you know, the shepherd knew the names of the sheep. He knows the names of his sheep. He knows that you're Marilee. He knows that. God knows your name. He knows your identity. He knows who you are. In Revelation, we're told that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The enemy, yeah, that's, you can clap about that. My name is written in God's book because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My name, he's got Stan in there somewhere, or it's probably Stanley. Because my father tends to call me that. Yeah. Is it? Okay. Well, once in a while, I've got to tell you, you can say Stan, but once in a while, I hear Stanley, and I know I better listen. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God knows me by name. The enemy, he only knows you as a number. We're told that there's a number that'll be attached to those who don't belong. But God knows you by your name. You're precious to him. You are special. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of the King. And here's the really important part. It's that he calls you by name for a reason. For a reason. He never says, okay, I'm gonna call Luke. Luke! And then Luke goes, yes, Lord. He goes, well, forget it. Never mind, Luke. God never does that. If God calls your name, or when he calls your name, he calls you for a reason. Rick! I got a purpose in you in this. There's something I want you to hear. I want you to know, Gaston. Here, this is something for you. This is a purpose. I never call you and then say, never mind. And he'll persist. Get this. Our God will persist. He'll go on and on. He'll go, Mitchell. Yeah. He'll go on and on. And he'll never say, God will never say, well, I tried. Oh, I called. You know, I called him, but he wasn't home. Right? God will never do that. God is persistent. He is jealous for you. A song that, you know, Cody sings so often. He's jealous for you. He is relentless in his pursuit. He won't give up on you. He's going to keep calling your name. He's going to keep calling your name until you answer him. Yes, Lord. speak. Your servant is listening. Your servant is listening. Look at verse 10. I love this verse. We go over it so quickly. But the last time that God comes to Samuel, the time when Samuel actually understands that it's God, we read this, that the Lord came and he stood there. That's as far as you've got to read. I think that is amazing to me. God came and he stood there. He stood at Samuel's bedside. He was there. You know, we think about God as this, and he is, he's this huge creator God. He forms the whole world and the galaxies and the universe in the palm of his hand. He is huge. He is bigger than you can ever imagine. He creates the mountains and the deserts. And we think about God as that huge, amazing, powerful, bigger than big God. We think of him even when Jesus is baptized and he goes, you know, booming with that booming voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's sort of the God that we usually think of. But today we have a God who's standing right by the bed. He's standing on that little rug that's next to your bed. He's wonderful. He's speaking. And speaking love and purpose in your life. Someone shared this verse with me from Zephaniah. I put that verse on the screen. Jerry shared this with me this week, just as I was going through all this and preparing this message. And I thought, wow, this is exactly what God does when he gets close to us and he whispers our name. Listen to what it says. It says, "On that day they will say to Jerusalem, 'Do not fear, do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord our God, the Lord your God is with you.'" Did you hear that? "The Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves, he will take great delight in you. And in his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing." He will rejoice over you. I'm going to read it in this version. I liked it better. Just listen to what it says here. Listen to this. "Do not," thank you, Lamb. "Do not let your hands hang limp." He says that to old Presbyterians like me. "Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love." I like that. "He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." Here's what your God is doing in the early morning hours when he is standing by your bed or kneeling by your bed. He is saying, "I take great delight in you. I rejoice over you. I rejoice over you with my love. I quiet you. You need to be quiet. So I quiet my love." That's it. He quiets us. He says, "I rejoice over you. I delight in you. I love you. So much," God says. "I love you so much. And I know that your life is a mess. I know that you're stressed out. I know that you've got a struggle with your child. I know that you may be out of work. Soon be. I know that it sometimes seems like everything is broken and that I'm far away, but I am. I want to speak over you. know your name. God is a voice. He has a voice that is as real as any other voice you've ever heard. He has a voice that speaks directly into our hearts. And there's times when we get so close that we can, I think sometimes, you know, this is scary. God, I'm scared. God's just going, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? You know what? God, sometimes God just gets so close and he's standing beside us in the nighttime, in the darkness. And maybe it's just his breath. I don't know about you, but I need that so badly in my life. When I wake up like I did this morning at 4:30, I wake up kind of perturbed to start with. And then it dawns on me that, you know what, there's a purpose in this, and God wants to just breathe on me. And I just need to receive it. I need to have my spirit, which is in turmoil, I need to have that spirit. God, who is a voice. He speaks. And if we listen carefully, if our heart is in a place where we can say, speak, God, or your servant is listening, we will actually hear what he's saying. We will. We will actually hear what he's saying. And there's tons of examples of that. About a month ago, and I could give you a lot, I'll just give you a couple here, but about a month ago, I was traveling in my truck down to Ross Street Hill. And as I was traveling, there was a lady in the minivan who was just beside me. And I'm one of those creepy people that always look at who's driving next to me. I don't know why, I just can't pay attention to the road, I think. But I'm looking at her and I could just see she was doing this, she's driving through this, and she was shaking. I could just tell she was sobbing and crying. And I just, in my heart, went, wow, she's been working such a hard time, I don't know what's wrong with her. But I'm driving my truck, so whatever, you know, not my problem, I can't fix this. And then I really felt like God was saying, you gotta do something. Yeah, well, but like, God, I'm in my truck, you know, and she's gone, like she's passed, and there's traffic, but I felt God saying, she is in agony, and you need to do or say something. And wow. But then I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. We're always making deals with God. you work this out, God, and I'll do my best. And sure enough, you know, about 3 stoplights down, we ended up coming to the same stop. And I pushed my button, and I rolled the window down, and she looked at the green screen, and I looked at her and said, so she rolled her window down. And I said, you know, I didn't know what to say. I have all the words or anything like that. But I just looked at her and I said, you know, I don't know what's wrong. But I only have a couple seconds here. I don't know what's wrong, but I can tell you this. That with God, it's going to be all right. And the last thing I can say to you is this. Whatever's wrong, whatever's happening, just pray, pray, pray. God bless you. Light was green when I'm out here. Right? And you know, you have those kind of stories too, because I've heard lots of them before. We had a couple of really cool stories last Sunday night at a prayer meeting about God just confirming things and God speaking things into our lives. There's so many stories like that. I remember when I first came to Red Deer, and I wasn't even really filled with the Holy Spirit at that time, but I was in the hospital and I was going down the elevator with this lady, and I just real sense. I was saying, there's something wrong. This lady had a baby in her arms and she was obviously going home. And I could just tell that something was wrong, and I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. So I looked at her and I said, what's wrong, lady? What's the matter? And because she wasn't crying, but she was just, what's wrong? And I knew that you don't carry your baby out of the hospital. I knew that because we had babies and they always take you out on a wheelchair. So I kind of figured those things wasn't working out. She looked at me and she just broke down and started bawling. And she said, I am leaving this hospital. I've had all these problems. The person not yet. All this whole story is I have no way to get home. I don't know what to do. So we checked her out of the hospital, and I put her in my car, and I brought her home. And to make a long story short, I mean, I got to know her better. She started coming to church. She received Christ a few weeks later. I mean, I've lost some contact with her because she moved to a different city now. But she knows the Lord. She knows Jesus. And it's about listening. I was talking to someone yesterday who was telling me his story, and I think we should tell our own stories, but I'm going to tell his story a little bit because he's a little shy to tell it himself. And I said, well, I won't reveal who you are, but I'll tell your story. He says, you know, this happened about 6 weeks ago, and he was involved in all kinds of stuff. Life was a mess. Trouble with the law, trouble with an addiction. And he was sleeping one night, and he had been woken in the middle of the night, and he heard a voice. And the voice said, get on your knees and come to me. And we hear it to him. He heard this audible, actual voice. In fact, he got up, and he went out the door of his apartment, and he looked in the hallway because he thought someone was saying that. Get up, get on your knees, and come to me. And he didn't know what to do. You know, he knew, but by that time he knew this was the voice of God. He knew that God was speaking to him. And he walked around that night, and he tried to buy some drugs, and he bought some drugs, and he tried to use the drugs, and he said, you know what? It didn't work. It never does work. It didn't work. There was no power in those drugs. It didn't have any. It didn't get high. And the next day was church. He came to church. And he knew that God was speaking to him. He knew that God was calling him. He knew that he had to come to the front. He did. He came to the front, and he fell on his face before God. And he gave his life. And he told me yesterday that ever since that time, he's been able to stay clean. He's been able to work. He's been in church every week. He's been following Jesus. Because he heard the voice. Yeah, you can clap. He heard God's voice. And now some of you are figuring out who it is. That's not my fault. God's good, you know? This is what the message is about. God is so good, and he knows who you are, and he wants you to know that he loves you and that he can take care of whatever in your life is broken, whatever needs to be taken. He's a God who, if we just give in, just give in. If we surrender, he will set our lives on a rock. He will. He'll set our lives on a rock. And we will have a foundation that we never had before. The key thing here is that we need to listen to God. You do not need someone. Hear me today. You do not need someone to listen. You can listen to God yourself. And I know sometimes we go to all kinds of lengths to hear from God, from other people. We go to different things or different people. We want to hear. Get such a hunger for this. And that's not all bad. But know this. You can hear it from God yourself. You can. God has something to say to you. Even right now, God has something to say. And he can speak it to you because the Holy Spirit is here and the Holy Spirit is in your heart. And what it means also, just so you know, is that I need to listen to him and not you. So if you think I'm not listening to you, I'm not, yeah. At least I'm trying not to. I need to listen to God, and I, besides just going completely nuts, it's just wrong. I can't try to listen to this half while I don't listen to this half, or listen to these 10 people and then not listen to these 10 people. I only have one direction in my life. There's only one thing that's going to work. And believe me, I'm still learning about this. But I know what God calls me to do. I know what he's saying to me. And I need to just listen to him. And I do my best to do that. And I urge you to do the same thing. God speaks to you. God speaks to you. God cares about you. Why don't we just close our eyes. Let's close your eyes. Thank you. You're a faithful servant. Let's listen. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's it. I hope this work for you. I want to be quiet. And he just wants to. Just wants to sing. That I still and know that I am God. He still and know that I am. God loves you. It's your name. God loves you. God wants to give you a brand new life. That it's time. That this has been way too long that you've been living this way. He wants to set you free. And God wants to speak to you very quietly and gently. He wants to tell you that he wants to rejoice over someone. That he calls you to be his daughter. And that it's time right now. It's time right now to change your life. The power that the Holy Spirit. Ready for that? Stand up. Give me a hug. Let's close the bell. I want you to know. You don't need to do anything. You don't need anything you don't want to do. Are you hearing from God today? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that he wants to change your life? And lift your hands up to God. Let your hands be lifted up. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. And I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus Christ. This is the new life. Amen. Come. Amen. Kim, I want you to go in a prayer room and pray with me. Thank you, God. God is whispering. God's got something to say. God has something to say. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Isn't so much about how gifted we are. It isn't so much about our abilities. It's about our availability. There's a lot of people that are really gifted, and man, they can speak and they can sing, or they got lots of money, or they can do this or they can do that, and they are not used by God because they are not available. God will use, as Len has often said, God will use you if you're available. God will use you. If you stand before him and you don't need to say much, all you need to say is speak. Your servant says, I'm available. I don't have many gifts. I don't have any money. I don't know how to sing. It doesn't matter. God says, I don't care. I just want you to be available. I want you to hear my voice. There are other people who are driving trucks next to yours, but there are other people who you can make a difference in their lives. There are people that you can encourage or that you can lead to Christ that just need a word of hope or encouragement. And if you're available, God will use you. If you're available, God will use you. Thank you, God, for this time. It's our desire, Lord, that we just hear your still small voice, that our hearts are tuned to you. It's our desire that we don't miss the opportunities. We know that you have a great purpose in every one of our lives, in this church. We know that it is your kingdom. We are privileged to be called out God. We know that you reach your hand out and you touch us where we need to be touched. And I pray for people who are here today that need that. We need to be touched. We need to know that you care. We need to know that you know our name. Let us know that today. You know my name. You know who I am. You know my identity. And that you call my name. I pray today, God, that we will hear you saying, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my yoke is light. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Thank you. We want to hear your voice. We want to be familiar. We want you to heal. God is for us. What can be against us? God, you are greater than any other. God, you are strong. God, you are healed. But right now, even in the quiet of this morning, it's amazing. Quiet at this time right now. Pray that you'll whisper the things that you would have us know. But there's a couple people here I know that they're resistant. They've been turned off. Pray that you'll soften their hearts. You'll show them that you're real. I know they're here for who knows what the reason is, but I'm glad they're here to hear this. Pray, God, that you will soften their hearts. Lord, that you'll just tell them that you are who you say you are. That they can trust you again. Maybe they can't trust their mom or their dad, or they can't trust their employer, or they can't trust themselves, but they can trust you. And Lord, you are so clearly here right now. I pray that there'll be no one who leaves without knowing that. They know you're here. They know that you are who you say. There's some lonely people here, God. I really sense that today, too. People who don't feel like they're connected. They feel like they're estranged from society. They don't have any friends. God, I pray that you just wrap your arms around them. You love them. Thank you, God. They'll know that you're right there. You're not off in some distant galaxy, but you're right beside them. It's close and it's real. It's only you can do that. So be with the lonely and the struggling. And I know, God, that you've been setting so many people free lately from addiction. And yet there's more to be done. There's a work in this city that only you can do. You are the God of this city. This city is God's city. It is not man's city. These are your people, God. These are your sons and daughters. And so I just cry out to you right now. We do together. We join our faith. We pray, Lord, that you will do a great work, that you will do a mighty work in the lives of people who have lives that are unraveling right before their eyes, God. We just lift up our hands. We do not have limp hands. We lift up our hands and we call out to you, Jesus, that you will save those who are unsaved, and that we will know in our hearts that there are no unsavable people, that your grace is a great grace, that your grace can call from darkness, and that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. And God, that you would work in our hearts so that we would be a people who love with a love that is uncommon, a love that is not from us, but a love that comes from you, God, and that it will be about love that draws people here, that draws people to you, God, and that it won't be about us becoming big in number, but it'll be about that actual person who needs to be saved and who's no longer lost. So thank you, God. Thank you that you call us in the night and that you deliver us from ourselves and you save us from everything that separates us from you. We cry. Let's speak.
I want a love that is not lost.
for love. I don't know if you realize this or not, but God just sang over you. Cody had no idea. Like, you might think we orchestrate this stuff, but that song is perfect. We didn't orchestrate that. We didn't know. She didn't know she was singing that song. You are loved. And he sings a song that's to quiet you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. God give you his peace. Because you're loved. Amen. Why don't you stand and can you do it again? Thank you, Jesus.
You are love, my child.